I am a 2-3 person team, right? And so I fund this all myself. And I suggest all you entrepreneurs out there, don't wait for the money, just do it. Just do it, and the resources you need will come.
You're listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
So today, I am delighted to have none other than Edwin Benton on the show. So Edwin, welcome to Hooked on Startups.
Thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, let me tell everyone a little bit about Edwin. Edwin, so you are a creator. You make things. You create things. You're a director. You're a writer. You're a producer. You've put music videos together. You have a critically acclaimed short movie. You have a healthcare business. So most importantly, back in January of this year, you teamed up with Ludacris, or Chris Bridges, who is hugely popular, hugely talented Hollywood A-lister. So you managed to land Ludacris for a card game that you invented called Slang and Friends.
Yes.
Slang and Friends is the cure for nomophobia, I understand.
Yes. So nomophobia, if you don't know what it is, it's cell phone addiction. If you break it down, it is phobia, which is the fear of being without a mobile device. No mobile phobia. Breakdown. And so apparently 60% of adults suffer from this disease. And we're trying to do what we can to help people to put their devices down. And I experienced it when I was at dinner with a bunch of friends and family. I threw a huge dinner party. I looked up to see that everybody was on their cell phone. And so immediately I kind of thought of ways that I could try to help solve this problem. And we created this card game. We went old school, and I want people to play together like we used to when we were children.
So when did this start? So, I mean, for a start, you don't have a background in, you know, game design. So
right.
how did you start this process? And what was the aha moment where you thought, you know, this is just crazy? I mean, was it the fact that everyone was staring at their phones? Was that the moment that?
Yeah, it was the day that I sat down and I looked up to see all my friends, my family, my parents, everybody on a device. And I was like, this is a real, real problem. And then that's when I did research to find out that this is causing breakups and marriages. It's keeping families just apart. And I was like, this is insane. What can I do about it? But the whole idea, our whole theme of slang came about when I used to play games like Scrabble and Words with Friends. And I wanted to play words and I wasn't allowed to. So I said, you know what? I'm going to create my own game. So I received a check, like a tax return check.
Yeah.
Called some friends up. And who I knew, who one was a graphic designer, one was a sound guy. I said, help me make an app. So I created a competitor to Words with Friends. We call it Slang and Friends. And instead of denying you for playing slang words, we provide 10 bonus points every time a slang word is played. And not only do we provide the bonus points, we give the definitions as well. And if you play a word and it's not there, you could suggest it right there in the app. So we're really keen on this slang thing. We feel like it's an expression of who we are. It tells a little bit about where we come from, what we're about. Here's a fun fact. A lot of people don't know that the godfather, the creator of slang, was William Shakespeare.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. He's solely responsible for creating and adding more than 1,700 words to the English dictionary.
And I think that's a fabulous thing, but most importantly, there is a serious business behind the card game. So just to put things into perspective, it's the reason that you're doing this is not, I mean, obviously there's a huge social need and it's brilliant fun to do this, but
right.
You wouldn't do it unless there was a compelling business reason to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. This category is exploding right now. If you went to Target, just say 1 year ago, you probably had 5 games on the shelf. If you go now, they got a whole aisle dedicated to these games, card games. And then they have a section for adult card games. So it's really, really exploded to a $1.6 billion business. And it's thanks to really Cards Against Humanity was the game that really kicked off and kicked the door down. And so now there's, it opens up the opportunities for games like mine to be on the shelves and people can play.
And if you look at the components of your game, so it really is like a combination of all the best bits of Cards Against Humanity and Words with Friends and Scrabble and other games where you have to describe a particular word or a particular action with and people have to guess that. So tell us more, because there's the app version, which is, again, we'll come to in a minute, but the physical card game, because I remember having just some of the most amazing times with friends where, you know, you just have very simple games, but it just sort of unlocks all of these social things that we've completely forgotten about. So how does it work where, you know, you put the chain over your neck and talk us through that part.
So basically how the game works, each round there's one judge, and one judge gets to wear this cool chain. I have a prototype over there. Should I?
Yeah, sure. It? Yeah.
So each round there's a judge. The judge gets to wear this really cool chain. It's called the slang chain. And you get to control the round. You get to pass players for taking too long. You get to pick one winner. But basically, you pull a slang card, and one by one, each person competes to do their most creative expression of that word. And then in the end, I get to pick one winner, and then they get the card. First person with three cards wins the game.
So you become the all-powerful leader. So you put on, and so just to describe this chain, it's about the size of a mobile phone. It's about as bling as you can imagine, with this huge sort of SF logo on it. So it does look like something out of, it's everything that you would imagine it to be. So it is the most perfect piece of game jewelry I think I've ever come across.
Yeah, it's really fun, and we didn't know how big of a hit this thing was going to be, but people just love putting on this chain. They feel like they have the power when they put it on, but everybody gets a chance to be the slang master, so you don't want to be too much of a jerk because it can come back to haunt you.
Which is part of the fun. So I guess you're sitting there, you've got the slang master chain on, and then you pick a card, or do you just invent a word that people have to describe?
No, you pull a card from a deck. So we have a deck of all various slang words, and you just say it out loud, and then you pick one person to start it off, and that person has to come up with something creative to do. So for instance, if the word is pop, right, one person might do the King of Pop Michael Jackson impression.
Yeah.
You know, somebody might pop lock, somebody might act like they're eating popcorn. You do all these different things, and then me as the slang master, I pick the one that I like the best, and they get the card.
And I guess the great thing is you're constantly updating this dictionary. So I'm just thinking of that famous word, covfefe, which I think was uttered by President Trump the other week. So your dictionary is sort of living and breathing. So you're not restricted to, you know, words that no one's ever heard of.
Absolutely. And then our game even comes with five blank cards, so you can create your own words and have people use those. And, you know, different cliques and different friends have words that they use that no one else uses. So that's why we included those blank cards.
And I think you've also got the turn up challenge as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the turn up challenges are insane. So that's the second deck that's part of the game, is the turn up challenge. And you can do anything in there, from taking body shots off somebody else to doing twerk competitions, a battle to remember as many presidents as you can. So it's a lot of interesting, fun cards in those decks.
And I think the great thing, though, is that a load of people, you're just using words that everyone has kind of heard, but it's like Urban Dictionary meets Words for Friends, I guess, but with, that's a very simplistic, but I guess the fun of just exploring all these slang words, all these Urban Dictionary type words that you've kind of heard. So do you find people go around collecting all these different words, and do you get besieged by people sending you all these new terms that you've never come across before?
Yeah. We get suggestions all the time, and And when we get one, we do research to see if it's a real slang word, because it might just be one that people use with their group of friends. And so we won't add them to the game. And that's more for the app side of it. But for the physical card game, we actually have a couple words in there that don't make any sense at all, which is, you know, because we want you to be creative and come up with your best representation of what that word may be, you know, and that's when you get some of the best responses ever.
I'm just imagining that some of these are actually some of the words that William Shakespeare was probably speaking about back in the sort of 1600s, you know, so that, you know, 700 years later, they're still there living and breathing in, you know, popular culture. But the other amazing thing is just the pathway. So when you had this idea, look, something has to be done about, you know, I'm just not having any fun. I'm going out to dinner with my friends. Okay, we're chatting about stuff, but then it just comes to a crashing halt. How did you get from that moment to what you have now, which is this really rich, complex game with all these different ways of engaging people? What's the sort of process that you need to go through to get to that?
You know, I thought long and hard, and I didn't know I wanted to do a card game immediately. I started with a board game, and I prototyped that out. That sucked. We had no fun playing that. Then I was like, okay, I know Alan Lee, the creator of Exploding Kittens, and he had wild success with that game. So I was like, maybe a slang-themed card game.
Yeah.
That was the kicker right there. I put some slang words on cards. And I said, well, what if we act it out or use it in a sentence? And that's another thing I didn't mention earlier. Our game is not just a card game. It comes with this cool slang chain that I showed you earlier in
Medallion. Yeah.
It also comes with a die. So you
yes.
roll the die, which tells you how to play the game, which is really, really cool. And so not just a card game. It's a little bit more fun, and the die keeps it fresh, you know, but you're not playing the same different types with the same different types of mechanics over and over again.
The various iterations. So
yeah.
How long do you think it took before, I mean, you were working on this for 3 years, something like that?
So before I had a really decent prototype, I'd say the first prototype took about a month, and it was really I knew I wanted people to act things out, because when you act out things, it's just funner to have movement. So I knew there was that component to it. And I just sat here with my assistant. We just kept brainstorming and brainstorming. And then I got friends and family together one day, and we said, let's try it. I want you guys to act out this slang word. Let's see who's the best at it. And we did it, and it was so much fun. So we knew we were on to something, but we had to tweak different things. So the turnip deck came later.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people aren't comfortable with getting up and making a fool out of yourself in front of your friends, or everybody's not super creative. So the turnip deck is another way to keep people involved. And we found out that that's actually the staple, the foundation of the game now, this turnip deck.
And that's the one where you say, okay, your example is, you know, give me your cheesiest pickup line ever.
Yeah,
or that's your best your mama jokes or something like that.
Yeah, everybody stand up and do the robot. Who can do the best robot? It's random, so you never know what's going to happen. So, yeah.
And then to cap it all, so you've created this thing, you've got the momentum, you've managed to sort of through thick and thin over, you know, 2-3 years or whatever.
Right.
How did you manage to land Chris Bridges, you know, who is this superstar? So how did you manage that?
Well, here's the thing. It was tough, but you got to be a little crafty, right? So I snuck into a party that I knew he was going to be at, was one. And then I had a friend introduce me to him. Now, when he made the introduction, I had a physical prototype that was ready for him to feel and touch, that he could see. So he knew I had already put in effort. I had already invested my own funds into it. And in addition to that, I made sure before even choosing to go after him that he was the right person for this particular business. You know, you can get a celebrity, but if they're not right for what you're trying to push, it's not going to work out. And with him having a background in rap, and him being a universal, now a global superstar with this Fast and Friendly, Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah, yes.
It made a lot of sense.
So is that that's the sequel, Fast and Friendly, just for different audiences, you know.
Right, number 13.
Yeah, just, you know, to get the wider child-friendly audience, yeah.
But yeah, that's how I did it. So when I put myself in a position to get in front of him, and I made sure that when I got in front of him, I was ready. I was ready. I had something that he could touch, look, feel, and he knew that it was right for his brand.
And from a business perspective, so what you've done is you've created something out of nothing.
Yes.
And you've managed to sell that to someone who is a A-list celebrity.
Yes.
Who's now very happy to work with you. And just to talk about the business side, it is a huge market. So what I think many people don't understand is the scale of this market. So if we take Zynga, for example, which is famous for, you know, Words with Friends,
right,
there are $200 million company in terms of turnover, and they don't have the physical version that you have. So you've got everything that Words with Friends has because you have an app company we can talk about later. But this whole sort of breakout from the app market into the real world, I mean, how excited are you about that?
I'm super, super excited. But there are challenges that I have to go through that Zynga doesn't have. I am a 2-3 person team, right? And so I fund this all myself. And I suggest all you entrepreneurs out there, don't wait for the money. Just do it. Just do it, and the resources you need will come. So right now, I am. We have the Kickstarter going. We're very close to hitting our goal. And as soon as we hit our goal, we're reaching out to retailers saying, hey, look at us. We just hit our goal on Kickstarter. We have a super celebrity to be the face of our brand. Put us in your stores. So without having the money to really market it and really push it really, really hard right now on my own, I can't do anything. I have to work with what I have, you know, and I have to be creative and think outside the box. And that was part of the reason for bringing the superstar celebrity on in the first place, because without the marketing dollars, I now have to give up equity and have him be the face, have him push it. And that's another challenge, is when you're working with a celebrity and you're not giving him a physical check the way his other endorsers are, how motivated is that person? You know, that's one thing that you really have to look into. When we launched the Kickstarter, my celebrity went on a week vacation in Paris, so I wasn't able to get in touch with him. You know, so those are the different challenges as a startup that you guys out there will face and that I face right now. But at the end of the day, you got to be persistent and keep moving no matter what.
But the other thing is, you've got to make sure that you've got to have a business that's viable, because everything that you're saying is absolutely true. But in the absence of something that's profitable, scalable, viable. I think what you've got, though, is something that potentially is a multi-million dollar business. So just going back to Words with Friends, you know, they've got 5 million subscribers on Facebook. I mean, I have no idea how many downloads, but the revenue opportunities, and this is something aside from the creative side, this is something that must fuel you as well. Just thinking about all of the various different revenue opportunities from the online business and the offline business.
Absolutely. You know, they work hand in hand. And with our particular card game, the opportunities could be limitless, because we can do so many different expansion versions of this game. You know, slang is universal. It's in every subculture. Police officers use slang. Teachers use slang. You know, people in the South use slang. So each subculture is an opportunity for a possible expansion deck. You understand? So that's huge. We're also catering to a demographic that isn't really catered to very often, which is the urban demographic. Naturally, slang is universal and everybody can play this game, but because of the way society views slang and its affiliation with the urban culture, our demographic is the urban culture, and there's not a lot of card games out there that's designed just for them. There's not any card games that has any celebrity faces on them at all. So I think those are three key things that really separate us from the others.
And also, if you go back to Exploding Kittens, which was this Kickstarter phenomenon, I think still has the record for the largest number of people that actually subscribe to it. I think what you've got is a lot better, because the key thing is to have something that's cool. But what you've got is something, A, that's very cool, but also it's something that's quite timeless, because as you said just now, the idea of having a deck that is just teacher's slang or just police slang,
right,
in all the various different states or all the various different countries. So it's the sort of thing that you can just keep renewing over and over again. So from a revenue perspective, that's the equivalent of the razor blade sort of idea.
Absolutely. Slang is very big in Australia, so we can do an Australian version of the game. It's very big in Canada. It's big in Ireland. There's some countries that use slang a lot, and we can just do one deck, an expansion deck, and right there, you know, that's its own business. So that's what I love about it. It can go on forever and ever and ever.
And with your sort of movie and producing background, do you see other opportunities coming out of this franchise? For example, like a game show, or do you see that sort of expansion?
You know, that's very funny that you say that. I hadn't thought about it at all until last week. Somebody said, you know, you should pitch a TV show that's similar to Wild and Out, which is Nick Cannon's show, around slang. And I thought that was a very interesting concept. And I've been thinking about it ever since. So yeah, that's a possibility.
Because the interesting thing is that when you say slang to some people, then you immediately sort of stampede to one particular demographic. But right. Obviously I'm from the UK, so we have Cockney rhyming slang.
Yeah.
You know, which is something which is very much part of our background. You know, it goes back to the Second World War, where, you know, we would invent rhyming words to try and confuse the enemy. But that's now part of the culture. So Cockney rhyming is not just one culture. It's very cool.
Yeah.
And as you say about Australia, I know it, again, because of the links there, that's another huge market. So do you see yourself having sort of country playoffs, you know, particularly if you can, if you've got the sort of the online version where you can have.
Absolutely. Like the future, I see people playing on Apple TV with people all over the world, and there can definitely be tournaments and things of that nature. But first, you know, we have to take the small steps to get there. And I want to get into retail, Target, and Walmart. Funny thing is, Walmart, we would only be able to sell the original version, not the ludicrous adult edition, because I just found out Walmart doesn't do adult games, but Target does. Target does. They just have their own section for adult games. So, yeah, we have to first make some noise at the retail stores and then build scale up from there.
And the scale, so again, the sort of distribution that you can get through something like Target, again, this is just talking US.
Right.
I don't know how many stores they have, but that could be a huge sort of uptick in terms of, you know, the opportunities there for you if you can get a major retailer like that.
Yes, that's our goal right now. As soon as we hit, and as I'm talking to you, I think 3 pledges just came through. So as soon as we hit our goal, we're reaching out to them full steam and saying, hey, we want to be the first card game that has a superstar celebrity in your aisle. Talk to
you. Yeah, and so there is that, but also it's just the value of the game itself, because I think that there are, if people look beyond the celebrity, then they see just that complexity, the fact that it's the game that will never get stale.
Exactly.
Because you're dealing with language, and language is living and breathing.
And here's another thing, Matt, that we're working on. I really have a passion for seniors, and because our game is really active, we're creating an adult for the elderly and frail, where they can play it at senior centers. That helps with their mobility and their memory and their balance. So that's something really big that we're working on. We're working with physical therapists and doctors to make sure that we have the right turn up cards for them, that where they can just do the right amount of motion but not be in a potential to get hurt or injured or anything like that. So that's something that we're really proud about. We're calling it the OG deck.
I guess where you have to recreate the scene from Casablanca on the piano or something like that, something which is sort of, you know, which is tuned into their to their era. So let's talk about the Kickstarter campaign. So, I mean, you're a true entrepreneur in the purest sense of the word, where you have an idea and you do everything that you can. You push everything, you try everything until each day you make a step further forwards.
Yes, so,
I mean, Kickstarter campaigns are very difficult because something like 90-something% of Kickstarter campaigns don't hit their target. It's like business generally, for all sorts of reasons. It's very difficult to get a business to work. But within a few days of launching, you're within a cat's whisker of hitting your 10K target. So how difficult is it, or what did you learn that made your Kickstarter campaign so successful?
One of the things I learned, and a major challenge for me, is social media. Me, I don't do well on social media. I am not fond of putting my business always out there to the world continuously. I like the idea of, building a following, but it's a lot of work. And it's hard when you're trying to create something great to do both at the same time. So my challenge was not having a huge audience that would come in immediately and give us that 10K that we need. So that's a lot of work. And then figuring out, what different press members you're going to talk to. I did have Elon Lee as a resource. Elon Lee, the creator of Exploding Kittens, who gave me a lot of good tips, which have been very beneficial. But I would say that's the number one thing that I learned is, if you're going to do a Kickstarter, make sure that you have that following built up 6 months to a year in advance. I didn't know that I was going to do a Kickstarter 6 months ago. So that's another challenge there. So when you're trying to perfect a game, you have to test it with lots and lots of people, refine it. And then I'm running another business at the same time, so I got to deal with that. And then it's like, at the end of the day, I got to do social media too. So for me, that I would say that was the biggest challenge ahead, is just making sure that I'm engaging all the right people ahead of time.
And were there any moments where you just thought, this is a crazy idea? What am I thinking?
Nah. I knew I wanted to put it out there to the world to see if they would validate the idea. I knew I liked it. My friends liked it. But would everybody else like it? And we've been getting an amazing response online with the ads that we're doing, the commercials that we're putting up. But a lot of people we're finding are not keen to the idea of buying a card game and getting it March of 2018. People want that game to play this weekend with their friends. So that's another hurdle you got to overcome, is letting the people know that your game's going to come next year and it's going to be just as fun as it would be if you got it this weekend. So be patient.
And that's why, I guess, on your Kickstarter campaign, you've got some exclusivity, and there's certain layers or levels, as it were, where you can buy things now that will never be available again. Yeah.
We have an exclusive Kickstarter deck, and this is a deck made only from the people who backed the campaign. It'll never be in stores. And so it's really a hell of a collector's item.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so that, we have a lot of popularity with that. And please go check it out and get it if you like what you see.
Well, that's the real value of something like, that's how you can really use something like Kickstarter. Because if people are worried about the fact that they've got to wait a few months to get it, which goes pretty quickly, the fact that they're getting something that no one else is going to get, I think that probably offsets that. So is that something you learned from the beginning, or did you kind of figure that out 2 minutes before the launch date?
Yeah, we figured that out by doing research, looking at other campaigns, because Kickstarter is its own community, right? And there's a certain type of, these people are smart, these people are forward thinkers, and they're all about the community itself. So when you offer a tier like that, where the community can come together and basically build a version of your game for them, the response is really positive.
And the great thing about a Kickstarter campaign, when it's successful, that speaks very loudly about the success of A, your business idea, but also your ability as a management team to pull it together.
Right.
You know what I mean? So is that what you've learned? Are you getting feedback now, or are you getting approaches from people looking to fund your business at the next stage?
Yeah, we received a call from a couple people who want to invest, but the amounts that they're talking about, these are regular people who just really like the idea. Like, hey, I got $10,000. Can I invest? And we just have to be honest and say, look, at this point right now, we're focused on the Kickstarter. And once we start really thinking about what we need to move forward from the crowd, as far as outside of the Kickstarter investment, we'll let you know, and we'll put you on a list. So, but we're hoping somebody bigger like a Mattel comes along, or a Hasbro, and says, we like this, how can we work with you to get this in stores? If that happens, that would be awesome. But if that doesn't happen, as an entrepreneur, you got to keep moving and do it yourself. You never stop moving. And so later on today, when we hit that goal, we'll be making calls. We'll be sending emails saying, hey, we hit our goal. Let's talk.
Absolutely. And I think that's the most valuable thing from the Kickstarter campaign, is that success. It's that milestone that you've hit. Yeah. And you're not even halfway through through the month. So you've got 30 days, I think, to raise. It's an all or nothing raise. And you're through with, you know, half the month left to go. So that must be a real, you know, feather in your cap, just to think that you know, there's a real validation out there.
Yeah, because when you create an idea from nothing and the people come together and say, yes, I like that, I would buy that, that is satisfying, you know, because you're providing value to the world. And that's what we want to do. And another thing that we don't really talk about much, but we noted at the bottom of our Kickstarter page, is that we really pushed hard to make the game from 100% recyclable materials. The entire cards, the chain, the die. And so we want to do our part, because global warming is a real thing and we care.
No, and that's right. And so there's all these other, you know, all these other messages, and the thing will just continue to develop and develop. So, you know, you must be, you know, hugely excited to be at this point where it feels like all of the work that you put in, not only have you got validation from, you know, from Ludacris, who is, you know, he's not a Z-lister, is he? You know, you've got buy-in from people, and you're saying that's in the absence of this huge campaign. So you've done that without this sort of massive social media following.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, if some investment dollars do come, we can really, really get the word out there and really change the game, because we have something special. We have something special.
And I think that's the most amazing thing. So you know, you must be feeling pretty good right now. You must be feeling pretty excited about the future.
I am. Glory to God.
That's right. Well, I have some questions for you, actually, outside your business. At the end of each interview, I like to borrow 10 questions from James Lipton's Inside the Actor's Studio.
Okay.
So I'm gonna dive into these. And this will then complete the picture of Edwin Benton.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Okay. So my first question then is, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word is love.
Wow. And what is your least favorite word?
Racism.
Oh, wow. And what are you most excited about right now?
I'm most excited about bringing friends and family together to make the best memories of their lives by playing Slang and Friends, the card game.
Fantastic. I can see that. And what turns you off right now?
What turns me off? Right now, meat. I've recently become a vegetarian, and I watched the movie, the documentary, What the Health, and I'm all about the veggies right now. So meat is a turn off.
Oh, fantastic. And so what sound or noise do you love?
I love hearing the sound of waves hit the shore at nighttime.
And what sound or noise do you hate?
Ooh. I hate the sound of negativity.
And what is your favorite curse word?
Fuck. You use it so many different.
It is. I think you could probably build a deck just using that word. You
know? Right. Yeah.
All the various interpretations. And so, God, I wish I could trademark that. Just imagine the royalties. So what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
None, because I attempt all the professions that I want. So there's nothing that I want to do that I haven't.
Which is brilliant. And what profession would you not like to attempt?
I wouldn't want to sell doors door to door.
That sounds like a movie. The guy who sold doors door to door.
Yeah, I heard that somewhere and I was like, that's the worst profession ever, door to door door salesman.
Because it's like everyone's got one, you know? Like,
yeah.
Talk about selling sand to Arabs. Yeah. So my last question, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Now it's time to start this party right.
Can you imagine him? Look, I've got a deck of your cards here, Edwin. Thank you for these. And that's brilliant. Well, look, how do people get in contact with you? Because there's 2 weeks left at the time that we recorded this of your campaign. So how do people get to find out how they can get involved with your Kickstarter campaign and to pick up these exclusive cards packs?
You can go to slangandfriends.com. That's slang, the letter N, and friends with a Z on the end. You can email me directly at edwin@edwinbenton.com. You can also find us on Instagram at Slang and Friends. We're on Twitter at Slang and Friends and Facebook at Slang and Friends.
And so I guess, you know, if anybody wants to pick up those packs, which I they're going to be very valuable, you know, collector's items. So brilliant. I mean, just, you know, get there quick. But Edwin, it's been just a huge pleasure having you on. It's been fascinating just finding out how you get these types of projects off the ground and the challenges. And it sounds like you're at the beginning of something that is just going to be huge.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being on here. And anybody who's out there listening with your own startup, just keep pushing. It's going to all come together. Persistency is the key, and don't wait for anybody. The time is now.
That's brilliant advice. Edwin, thanks once again.
Thank you.